that's almost crazy. It's like trying to erase all of your knowledge and start fresh. And
the jury more or less declined to weigh in on that aspect of it. But they did turn around.
I was gonna say, that must be so hard to...
They did say that there was copyright infringement, mm-hmm. which is basically sort of an end run around those deeper questions about stealing the code. It's basically saying, look, ZeniMax had a copyright on this code, on this product, on this project. Oculus used that same code. We're not going to get into how they got it or who was involved in transferring it. We're just going to go straight up and say, yes, that's copyright infringement, which it is. One of the interesting things about code is that because it's written, it's treated in the same way as literature is. So it's not a patent infringement, it's a copyright. You copyright code, you patent an application.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get the same code running in two different things, it becomes a copyright case. So they got nailed on that. They got nailed on non-disclosure agreement violations.
How did they figure out that it was the same code?
It's pretty obvious. I mean, well, you had the one employee that said, yes, I took the code.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course. I mean,
I took snippets of the code. And what ZeniMax was trying to prove was they'd taken all of the code and just plugged it in Oculus and then sold it to Facebook.
It's almost like those court cases with the songs. And I just took little like riffs, but then it sounds so much like another song.
The technology industry gets away with murder on this stuff because your average juror has no idea how any of this works. Your average juror has no idea what half of this stuff means. Mm-hmm.
Even if it's explained in the most elementary way possible, it's still very confusing.
When you start explaining it in detail, people who aren't interested in it just zone out. They're like, I don't want to know what you're doing over there. I don't know how that works. I don't know what the code is. Did parts of their code wind up in your thing? All right, copyright violation. Did that guy steal the code? Is that considered stealing? Did he write it? These are questions that average jurors just aren't capable of answering,
mm-hmm.
because they don't have the engineering background. They don't see it through the same lens.
It's not a very simplistic topic.
Right. They don't see it through the same lens as a venture capitalist or a company president or an engineer. If you got a jury full of engineers, they're going to look at it, they're going to be like, you stole that. And they're going to get it. You don't get a jury of engineers. You get a jury of whoever walked in off the street that actually had the time to sit for the jury and couldn't figure out a way out of it, and that both attorneys approved.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it is, you know, $500 million, not the $4 billion that ZeniMax was looking for, but not a small amount of money either. So, pretty good for them. This is WMFO Medford. I need to keep saying that. I don't think I say that enough.
ZeniMax?
No, WMFO Medford. I don't need to say ZeniMax ever again.
Done.
There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Hope you like it cold.
It was stormy.
Something like it cold. Yeah, come on. We got like an inch of snow.
Weren't we supposed to get like 3 to 5?
That was, yeah, they wound up being wrong about that, at least where I am. And I was happy for that. We got like 2 inches out in my town.
Our town.
Not bad. Our town. Yeah, that's right. You live over there now. Hi. Hello, neighbor.
We're neighbors.
Anyway, if you like the cold, boy, have I got a weekend for you. Tonight, temperatures fall down into the upper 20s. Tomorrow, we will be lucky to see 40 degrees under mostly sunny skies. Lows in the low 20s tomorrow night. Friday, daytime highs right around freezing. Upper teens for lows on Friday night. Saturday, pretty much the same thing. Highs below freezing, mostly sunny skies, lows in the low 20s, and then Sunday, clouds roll in, we'll get into the low 40s, and temperatures Sunday night fall back into the lower 30s. Keep your eyes out for some snow showers Sunday night, and depending on where you are on Friday, or depending on where you are Thursday, might get a snow shower as well.
See, why can't we get a lot of snow?
Late
gives
in the
us
day.
An excuse not to go to work on Monday.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Mm. There will be just enough snow to create auto accidents is probably what's going to happen. Mm. And of course, tomorrow is Groundhog Day. So get excited. We find out how much more winter we get tomorrow. Of course,
I saw a study that said February is going to be seasonally warm.
Of course, this is not seasonably warm.
Warmer.
This is not seasonably warm. We are looking at temperatures in the lower 20s and upper teens for the next several nights. So
I told you, those temperatures are banned from the show. I don't want to hear about it.
That's seasonally
normal.
Come
talk to me again when you're back up to 50s.
Is what that is. Hey, it is WMFO Medford. It is The Big Picture. Derek, Gary, and Lisa Nichols with you until 9 o'clock, when On the Town, Mikey D will be here with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. When we come back, did you hear all the other stories that caught our attention right here on WMFO Medford?
For the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, I'm Dr. Tom Shives. People who enjoy winter sports can't wait for the first snowfall. But winter sports can also mean broken bones and other injuries. For instance, every year, skiing causes tens of thousands of injuries and about 30 deaths in the U.S. A lot of those are from head injuries, so skiers of all ages should wear helmets. Head injuries tend to occur late in the day when skiers may be tired, so watch out for fatigue. Using a helmet is also a great idea for children who go ice skating or sledding. Other sledding safety tips: only go sledding in designated areas that are free of trees, posts, and fences. Adults should supervise children, and all sledders should sit facing forward, but never head first. Use a sled with runners and a steering mechanism, which is safer than toboggans or snow discs. Prevent winter sports injuries so you can focus on the fun. For more information, visit the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons online at aaos.org.
When you get bumped on a racetrack, the key is to stay in control.
NASCAR legend Rusty Wallace.
Same goes for the highway. That's why professional truck drivers need to buckle up every trip, every time. Your safety belt can keep you in position behind the wheel and in control, looking out for yourself and everybody else. That's what a professional driver does. So be ready, be buckled, and remember, you're the professional, the one who drives for a living.
A public service message from the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary, here with you every Wednesday night. As always, we want you to be a part of the show, and you can do that. You give us a call at 855-915-WMFO. Again, that's 855-915-9636. And it's time for Did You Hear? That part of the show where Derek and I quiz each other by seeing who knew the most about all the other topics of this week's news. As always, I will start first. Quebec City.
Quebec City was the site of a shooting on Sunday night.
Yes.
Sunday night. A young man, a 27-year-old student by the name of Alexandra Bissonnette, walked into a Islamic cultural center and opened fire, executing six people and wounding 19 others. He is a right-winger and a fan of Marine Le Pen and Donald Trump. Not the sort of endorsement that I think either one of those candidates is looking for. Yeah. You know, we talked about Barstool Sports, the Boy Scouts of America.
I saw this. I believe it was Monday. They said they are going to start accepting transgender boys. So this comes in the wake of, this is the first time ever. So recently it's actually been changing its policies. And back in, I think it was 2013, they ended the ban on having the leaders gay or lesbian. And then they changed it, 2015, 2013 was having openly gay scouts in the Boy Scouts. So this is just another hallmark for Boy Scouts.
Boy Scouts get all diverse and inclusion-y.
Mm-hmm. I am going to give you orangutans.
Oh, God. What did I just see about orangutans? God, I saw this. It's Monday, correct?
This was.
They are using a service similar to Tinder.
That is true.
To allow female orangutans to choose their mates.
Yes.
They are given a tablet and they can swipe until they find a mate that they like, mm-hmm. at which point I think they say ook eek, and then the orangutan sex begins.
So this is a Dutch zoo and they're hoping to increase their breeding chances of female orangutans by having them choose their preferred male partner. So we'll see if it works.
It is only a matter of time until the female orangutans discover that they are faking their photos.
Yeah.
that they don't actually have a job, that they're living in their parents' basement, mm-hmm. and posting mean things on Twitter all day long. That's what the female orangutan
Sam
is.
Samboja is the orangutan that they're using. It's 11-year-old female, and they've been going through it with this new breeding program. Interesting.
Steve Harvey.
Did he do another big mess up?
No, he didn't do another big mess up.
Steve Harvey. Well, he is the host of Family Feud, and he announced the wrong winner at Miss America. I don't know.
It wasn't Miss America.
Oh, was it? Oh, Miss Universe.
Yes.
Was he the host again?
He was somehow the host of the Miss Universe pageant again this year.
Oh, yeah. He announced, last year, Colombia won, and he announced Venezuela or something?
Well, last year, I believe it was Miss Philippines who won, and he announced the winner was Miss Colombia and then had to change it. During the interview portion, when he was talking to the finalists, he asked Miss Colombia what people in her country thought of him, and Miss Colombia replied, "People hate you." She said it in a kind manner, you know.
And she's world peace.
It was all sort of jokey. It was all sort of like, you don't want to know. And Steve's like, no, I can say it. And she's like, people hate you. So, but they gave him some glasses before he read the winners this year, and he got it right.
Was that his excuse last year for... It was like a mental lapse.
I'm amazed that the guy went back.
It was like when Travolta said... what did he say when Idina Menzel?
He totally messed up Idina Menzel's name. Azeladine. I don't know. Here's Adelazine. And it's like
you're just wondering where these letters are coming from.
Yeah.
I actually have that problem. I'm sure you realize on the show.
But Adelazine is not nearly as bad as announcing the wrong winner of the Miss Universe pageant. Mm-hmm. And
at least he just jumbled the letters together.
You know.
Somewhat.
First of all, huge cojones by Miss Universe for having him back. And I think even huger cojones for Steve Harvey for saying, "I'll do it again." You know, but it went off without a hitch this year. Everybody's happy. Congratulations, Miss France.
USA football.
USA football. The junior, like the organization that oversees the young people.
Yes.
Who play football.
Yes.
Has released the results of their first study on the Heads Up football program, and it ain't working well.
Well, they're actually trying to plan out new rules for football, and this is including, which is really interesting, smaller fields, putting fewer kids on the field at once, and making sure that kids of equal sizes are always going to be matched up against each other. So this obviously coming in the wake of having so many studies and research done on CTE, especially in the NFL. But please make note, this, as prevalent as it is in football, this is happening all across sports, and that it should be the attention of youth soccer and so many of these where there is any sort of interaction, man-to-man contact. So, interesting. I don't know how they're going to... It's like when Texas Pee Wee announced that they were only going to have touch. Everybody went crazy.
Well, it's Texas. Like, it's like, I want my kid hitting other kids. When you come here to play no fantasy football. Yeah, I know. I mean, it's Texas. It's the way they are. The reason the NFL makes a big deal about it is because parents are now saying, I don't want my kid playing football.
Mm-hmm.
parents aren't sitting around saying, I don't want my kid playing soccer. They're like, how do we get our kids to play soccer? Or tennis or hockey or any of the rest of it. Football's got a big bullseye on it. But you are 100% correct. Football is not the only sport that has an issue with concussions. And do not think, if you have a child who is playing or if you play yourself, that you don't have to worry because you're not playing football. It is an issue in nearly every major sport. So, mind your head. 69.
Is the number 69?
Not just the year I was born, but...
Is that the new study of passwords being detectable by...
No.
69. You were born in 69?
Yes, I was.
I don't know. What does it have to do with?
Rob Gronkowski.
There was something with 69, like a while ago.
No. If by a while ago you mean on the front page of every website on Monday, then
no.
Yes.
Then no.
That was a while ago in internet time. I don't know how you missed this, Patriots fan and sports fan that you are. According to Chuck Swierski, who was the basketball coach at Williamsville North High School, where Rob Gronkowski played, Rob Gronkowski deliberately missed a second free throw during a basketball game so that the team's score would be 69. We'd like to think that Mr. Gronkowski has grown up since then.
Is that maturity level still the same?
We know the team was well ahead at the time that he did this, so he deliberately bricked the second shot by bouncing it off of the backboard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not shocking.
Rob Gronkowski, ladies
Not
and gentlemen.
Not shocking. Mind flick.
Say what now?
Mind flick.
Flicks. Can you?
It's mind flicks.
Can you use it like flicks, like Netflix, or flicks like?
Yes.
I got no idea.
This is a group of engineers at Netflix.
Okay.
And they recently constructed a device that you would put on your head, and it understands your brain waves and has you choose what you want to watch just by what you're thinking.
Yeah, they can put that on their heads.
This gadget, it's a modified version of the Muse headband, which is designed to monitor brain activity for meditation purposes, and it's outfitted with a motion sensor. So...
Here's a
it's
thought.
It's easier. It's just like the product that came out that you attach to your foot, and it feels your body movement, and Netflix shuts off in case you binge-watched a show for 8 hours and happen to fall asleep.
Here's a thought, Netflix. Why don't you just invent an interface that doesn't require me to spend half an hour going through the recently added category? Could you do that? Is that something that you might be able to do? So I don't have to
They
go
want to give you options.
So I don't have to go to search every single time I want to look for something. I hate that interface. Absolutely hate it. Let's see. If I got one more or two more?
Two more.
We got two more. All right. Westminster.
Is in England.
Not that Westminster.
The dog show?
Yes. I'll give you another clue. Jungle Tracks Abiding Ovation.
Is that the name of the dog, that one?
No. Hasn't happened yet.
I don't know.
Jungle Tracks Abiding Ovation is a cat. He's a 3-year-old Bengal cat, and he will be participating.
Oh, that's the same cats my boyfriend has.
Jungle Tracks. He will be participating in the Westminster Dog Show. For the first time in the show's history, cats will be a part of the meet and compete event leading into the big dog show.
Really?
This isn't the dog show itself, but this is a separate, they've had cats at meet the breeds before,
mm-hmm.
where you can come in and see like these are all different breeds. This is meet and compete. So cats are going to compete at Westminster for the very first time. There are also 3 new dog breeds that are going to be shown at Westminster. One of them is...
Wait, what is the cat's name again?
Jungle Tracks Abiding Ovation. She is a pretty cat. She is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful cat, and I wish I had her.
I gotta look this up now.
But I would not name her Jungle Tracks. It's Tracks with an X, by the way. So it's like, I guess it's a musical cat. There's also going to be three breeds recognized for the first time. The Slouhi, which is a giant sort of working dog. The Pumi and the American Hairless Terrier. Note that...
I don't like the hairless animals. Well,
note, not every American Hairless Terrier is hairless. Only some of them are.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Mar-a-Lago.
Mar-a-Lago. Oh, God. Somebody did something stupid down there.
That was the story.
There was the one,
there
was the woman that was
week.
Smearing bananas on things down there.
This is not. This is something new.
This isn't that?
No.
Because I just read a story today about people like riding...
It has somewhat of a local connection. Yeah, no, it has a local connection.
I just read something today about people writing swear words on the Trump sign outside his golf course in California. I didn't hear anything about Mar-a-Lago.
Harvard medical students are calling on Dana-Farber to cancel their fundraiser that's scheduled to be held at Mar-a-Lago.
Please.
Hundreds of emails from students went to Dana-Farber to relocate the fundraising event in light of the executive order, which we'll be talking about.
I think they could relocate that to the same place where the taxi medallions could go. Right? Is that can we relocate that there?
Mm-hmm. Can we stop sending hate letters to a cancer institute? Please, like, can we stop that? Can we all be adults and stop that?
No, keep sending your hate mail to the cancer institute.
Like, come on.
They're just
that's insane.
They, you know what?
Think about when you're addressing that and going,
No, please.
Such a hateful organization. Maybe I shouldn't. Come on.
Please send death threats to the cancer doctors, because their whole lives, people have been looking at them as heroes and they've been celebrating their achievements and their accomplishments in defeating cancer. We need to knock them down a few pegs.
Bring them back down to reality.
Please call them hateful monsters and send your death threats to the Dana-Farber people. Yeah. That's a good idea.
Shameful.
Stay classy, America. All right, one last one for you. Penelope Gate. Love this. This is the best name ever. Penelope Gate.
Well, it's obviously a scandal involving Penelope.
Yes.
Why did I not hear this? Penelope.
How do you miss Penelope Gate?
Because I don't know where you look for these crazy stories. Just like you sometimes don't. Know where I get them on the cover of USA Today.
I spend a lot of time with the mainstream media, either watching it on television or reading it on one of the top three news websites on the web. So, gosh, I don't know what kind of crazy sources I'm getting these things from.
Penelope Gate, what is it?
Penelope Gate is the name that has been given to a fresh scandal rocking French politics. Leading presidential candidate François Fillon is under scrutiny after Le Canard reported that his British wife, Penelope, earned 900,000 euros as a parliamentary assistant without doing any work. A subsequent investigation found that Fillon's son and daughter received 84,000 euros for work that they did while Fillon was a senator. He has not been implicated in this yet, but he said that if he comes under investigation, he will step down. Penelope Gate. We need more Penelope Gates. I love it.
No more Gates.
We need a good... No, I think you need a good Penelope Gate. Lisa Gate. That'll be the next one. Coming soon. It is WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. When we come back, some sobering facts about the Donald Trump executive order on immigration.
Isolation, and it looks like I'm the queen. The wind is howling like this swirling storm inside. Couldn't keep it in, heaven knows I tried. Don't let them in,
Don't let them see. Be the good girl you always had to be. Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know. Well, now they know. Let it go.
Because if you use drugs, you better leave it alone. Drugs are contagious. They're killers. Every drug is a killer. Stay away from drugs. Drugs will take your life away. And if you want to live, stay away from drugs. Because they are super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad.
Okay, gang. So, chances are there'll never be an emergency ever, ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
So, who's going to do what? Anyone? Yeah, okay, perfect. We'll figure it out as we go. So, who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Ah, good point. So, we all know who to call if something happens then, right?
I'd have to call Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
And I will try to call all of you, but Greg doesn't have a cell phone. Dad's phone will have a dead battery.
No doubt.
And Julie will be on the phone with Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Coffee, I take tea, my dear.
WMFO Medford. He's Derek Gary and I'm Lisa Nichols here with you every Wednesday night, 7 to 9, and this is The Big Picture. So, of course, as Trump promised us, are we back to President the Donald?
President the Donald.
President the Donald promised so many of us during the campaign to get things done. He's getting some things done in his first week, more specifically on Friday. President the Donald signed an executive order that banned some refugees and immigrants from entering the United States. So this hits what we would like to call a pause on Syrian refugees coming to the United States, but also temporarily, again that keyword, temporarily, shuts the doors on citizens from Iran, Iraq, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Yemen. Now, initially, the ban, the rollout was a little not so right.
No, wait a minute. Hold on here, Lisa. Is this the Muslim ban I've been hearing about?
There's a Muslim ban. Can I tell you?
He's banned Muslims.
He's banned Muslims.
That's un-American.
Right now on this show, what has taken place is not, I'll repeat again, is not a Muslim ban.
He's banned Muslims. It's a Muslim ban. I heard it on the BuzzFeeds and the CNNs and the USA Todays.
It is not.
It's a Muslim ban.
It is not.
There were senators like Ed Markey, actually. I don't know if Ed Markey is lost or not because he's been in Boston for 2 weeks now.
Right.
Is Ed Markey lost and he just can't figure out how to get back to Washington? Because he hasn't spent this much time in the district in 3 decades.
He's scared to go back to Washington.
I'm concerned that he may be lost, that he may think he's in Washington. I don't know.
Now, initially, the ban did apply to people with visas and green cards. That happened because essentially what you had was Trump had a plan for how he wanted to roll out this executive order. And
the Muslim ban?
Yes. It was reported by a couple of media outlets that the White House had overruled the guidance, and not Trump, but this from Steve Bannon and Stephen Miller. And they said that they were going to, this is where the green card screw up happened. And White House pulled back and said, wait a minute, no. Of course, people with valid visas and green cards are going to be able to get back into the country.
Not if they're Muslims. It's a Muslim ban. It's a Muslim ban.
You know, but just the one thing with that and with the green cards, and I'm somebody that falls very middle of the road, but if you have a green card issued here in the United States and you are traveling to these countries, I want to know why you are traveling to these countries. In these countries that are heavily stained with jihads, that it's been proven that people either go there and get radicalized or go there to further their radicalization. I want to know why.
You're a Muslim ban supporter. You're part of the alt-right. You're a Nazi. You're un-American. You're filled with hate.
Islamophobic. I'm racist. I'm, of course. But unfortunately, everything that you're hearing, just what you're saying, Derek, is wrong.
There's a Muslim ban. It's on the BuzzFeeds.
It's wrong.
It's a Muslim ban on the internet. It was in my Facebook feeds. The Muslims are banned.
Well, luckily here on this show, what we do is tell you what it's really about and try to hush down everybody that is clogging up your feeds with pictures of people posting at airports and being involved in all of these rallies.
If you listen to this program on a regular basis, and you should, Wednesdays 7 to 9 here on WMFO Medford, you will know that several months ago we were talking about a little problem that the James Comey, the director of the FBI, had brought to the attention of Congress. Namely, the fact that when ISIS captured certain parts of the Middle East, in particular, government offices in the city of Deir ez-Zor and Raqqa in Iran, or Raqqa in Iraq, and Deir ez-Zor in Syria, they got their hands on some interesting things. Blank passports and all the machinery needed to make real passports out of them. Okay? So we have a terrorist organization that has declared an intent to commit crimes on U.S. soil, harming American citizens, that is in possession of equipment that makes real passports. We're not talking about some guy in a back alley faking a passport. We are talking about actual Syrian and Iraqi passports made with real machinery, indistinguishable from the real thing, because it is the real thing. Mm-hmm. The only thing that's fake on the passports is the individual's name. Have they been used? Yes, they have. Two of the suicide attackers in the November 2015 Paris attack, that was the night of the Bataclan, among other attacks around the city of Paris, two of those attackers used fake Syrian passports made with this equipment and snuck into France with refugees.
Mm-hmm.
So
you have a group essentially that has, and we're not making this up, and we're not predicting that they're coming from or through the Syrian refugees. You actually have ISIS saying, this is how we're getting into these countries.
James Comey told Congress at the time in December 2015 that he was extremely concerned about this. He's not the only one, by the way.
But also you had the head of Homeland Security that was going up in front of Senate and saying, we don't, the head of Homeland Security here in the United States was saying, we don't know who is coming into our country. But Derek.
Was that my man, Jeh? Jeh Johnson?
Yes.
Is Jeh still in there? But what happened to Jeh?
I think he's gone.
I miss Jeh.
But let everybody in.
Oh, sure.
Let everybody in. America is a melting pot.
We can't have a Muslim ban. It's a Muslim ban.
It is un-American to not let these people in.
So here's some sobering reality. There are terrorists with legitimate passports. Okay? This is why this temporary travel ban has been instated. Okay? Emphasis on temporary. You would think, listening to the hysteria on the internet, that no Muslim is ever going to be allowed into the United States ever again.
Forever.
This is a 90-day suspension of travel that was meant to impact people who do not hold green cards, people who are not dual citizens.
What, because a Iraqi translator got held up at the airport, then people like, ah!
Let's
freak out.
Let's be completely open and honest and transparent about this. President-elect the Donald and his team did not handle this well. First of
100%,
all,
100%, I agree with you. 100%.
You don't drop this on a Friday afternoon when nobody is paying any attention to the news.
Well, essentially, you had TSA workers that were watching him sign it on the news while trying to understand what
right.
the heck is going on.
Mistake number one, you don't do it on a Friday afternoon. You do it on a Monday morning, and you do it. And listen, I get Donald Trump's point that if we gave people advance warning, all the bad hombres would be coming to the United States. But that doesn't happen that way either. Anyway, you don't do it on a Friday afternoon. You make sure that you have spelled out all the rules before you just send an email out to everybody in the TSA saying don't let anybody from Iraq into the country. Because a lot of the people who were detained over the weekend weren't supposed to be detained. It was never the White House's intent to detain those people, people with green cards, dual citizens from Britain, a number of folks. The problem is, you get all hopped up. I'm writing the order. We're suspending travel. Woohoo! And you didn't think at all about how to implement this. Okay? Donald Trump is learning very quickly that the United States is not like the Trump Organization. You can't send out an incomplete, ill-thought-out email and expect that everybody is going to follow along and understand what you mean. Everything has to be very specific. And they have since come out and they've said, if you have a green card, you're fine. Mm-hmm. If you are a dual citizen, even if you were born in one of these countries, you're fine. Everybody's coming in. The only people who aren't coming in are people who don't have visas, people who have just applied for visas, who are from one of these seven countries. Now, why these seven countries?
That's a big question, because everybody wants you to think, well, it was specific why Saudi Arabia wasn't picked. Trump has ties with Saudi Arabia. And the 9/11 hijackers were in Saudi Arabia. Why are we being specific?
Nonsense. Well, let's start with the obvious. Iraq and Syria. This is where the fake passports came from. Okay? Let me reiterate this point again, which no one in the media has talked about. Spicer tried to bring it up the other day. And nobody in the White House press corps picked up on this. Every major media outlet covered this in 2015. ISIS has real-looking fake passports. They look real because they are real. ISIS has fake passports that will allow their terrorists to travel anywhere in the world. They are Iraqi passports, and they are Syrian passports. We don't know how many of them they have. We know they've been used. We know they've been used by terrorists. We know they've been used by terrorists who killed people on European soil. We know that two European journalists were able to buy them. So there are fake Syrian and Iraqi passports on the black market in the Middle East in the hands of people who should not have them. This is why you don't leave your passport machines around when ISIS rolls into town, because they're going to get them and they're going to make passports. So that's why Iraq and Syria are on the list. What about these other countries? Well, Libya, Somalia, and Sudan do not have functioning central governments. There is no central government in those three countries. Mm-hmm. So there is a fair amount of travel among the Al-Qaeda types and the ISIS types to different parts of the world. Because there is no functioning central government in those countries, if somebody says, oh yeah, I'm from Libya, I'm from Somalia, we have no way of verifying that.
We can't check it.
We don't know who it is. Mm-hmm. And they could be using one of these passports. That is a problem. Yemen is on that list because it kind of has a functioning central government, but there's a whole section of the country that is just out of control right now. Iran is backing the Houthis. The Houthis are creating problems. Saudi Arabia is bombing. Everybody's at war over there. There's Al-Qaeda over there. There's ISIS over there. And there aren't a lot of Yemenis trying to get into the United States anyway. Probably the least impact in this are Somalia, Sudan, and Yemen. But again, you got questions about who's in charge over there, who's manufacturing documents. For all we know, the Houthis have got their hands on passport machines. Nobody said that yet, but it's a possibility because they've taken over big chunks of Yemen. Iran, I got no idea. I have no idea why Iran is on this list. Iran, by the way, has the single biggest impact. There are about 47,000 Iranians who are affected by this executive order. The only thing I can think of is that some general is still bent out of shape about Obama's Iran deal for the nuclear program. And is just like, hey, we're banning people. Are we shutting down travel for a while? Let's throw Iran on the list.
I was also surprised to see that, considering the happy ties that we're trying to make with them and keep.
It's not like the Iranians are our friends, mm-hmm. but the Iranians aren't friends of ISIS either.
Well, especially in a time where we're trying to create these peace deals.
And it's not like if we called the Iranians and asked them to verify somebody, they would be unwilling to do it. In all the rest of these countries,
there is really nobody.
I mean, Iraq and Syria, forget about it. And you know, we're talking about potentially a longer-term ban on Syrian refugees for this exact reason, okay?
But then it's straight ISIS up facts. ISIS
has used this tactic.
Mm-hmm. And I've said it so many times on the show, and we absolutely should be responsible to take in refugees when we are the cause of the problem.
Yeah.
And after the Arab Spring, we were the problem. It is a whole change in landscape when you're dealing with wartime, essentially what is happening. And ISIS has come out and said, we are infiltrating the Syrian refugee migrant movement. We know for fact multiple attacks that have happened. And this is what I think the United States and the Trump administration is trying to grapple. Obama administration wasn't doing. They're trying to grapple with this new change in battleground. It was a change after World War II. It was a change after Vietnam. We have something different here where it's not just one side versus another. We do have that, but they can be anywhere and it can happen at any time. These aren't planned. And the thing that is most scary, and I don't want to be that, you know, crazy person, but the victims can be anybody.
I think to a broader point, President the Donald has come in and done what every one of his predecessors has done. He's ordered hiring freezes. He's ordered spending freezes. He's told everybody, calm down for 90 days while I figure out what's going on here. Every new president does this. Every new president walks in and says, I want to understand how this works. I want to understand what you're doing. And in the case of these fake passports, which have been used in terrorist attacks in Europe, I don't care that they haven't been used in the United States. They've been used in Europe, which ISIS can get to easily, which is why they've been used in Europe. It is harder to get into this country. And as we mentioned earlier on in the program, Iran is test firing ballistic missiles. Israel is announcing a lot of new settlements because they are probing the Trump administration to see what is going to happen. ISIS is going to try and do the same thing because everybody in the rest of the world looks at the transfer of power in the United States and they say, there is a window of opportunity. They don't know what they're doing over there. They don't know who's in charge. Nothing could be further from the truth because there is a tremendous continuity in our departments through the civil service as we change presidents. But that doesn't stop the bad actors out there from trying to take advantage of this situation and say, what can I get away with? So it makes sense that for 90 days, especially given the great track record the Obama administration had on terror, because we certainly had enough of that going on in this country, it makes sense to stop everything and say, what the heck is going on here? What are we doing? How are we vetting these people? How do we know that any of the information we have about them is accurate?
And this, Derek, is what blows my mind, that an average intelligent person can't look at and say, that makes sense.
It's because they're hopped up by the media. The media gins this up, and what are the first words on it? It's a Muslim ban! He's banning the Muslims! It's un-American!
Well, because, Derek,
He's a Nazi!
It fits in exactly to the narrative that mainstream media was portraying him during his entire campaign. Islamophobic, bigot, racist.
And then they go out.
It's perfect. This was, in the implementation of it, this was a perfect gift-wrapped box given to media, how it was rolled out.
Well, it was.
And not explained.
It was.
This was here.
Yes. It was horribly rolled out. The executive order itself was a complete mess.
But
they did it wrong, okay?
But nobody reads anything past the sub-headline.
Muslim ban! Muslim ban!
Your CNN, your MSNBC, ABC, CBS, just to name all of them, do not actually read, which is part of their job, read the executive order.
You know, some of the most dangerous countries in the world are not on this list? Afghanistan, they can come into the United States. Pakistan, they can come to the United States. Saudi Arabians can come to the United States.
But that's what people, and now people are portraying that, like, we have business ties with those countries.
Because
that is why it's not banned.
Because they're too ignorant to figure out what's really going on here.
Of
course. They need some way to justify their outrage. That's what the media is doing. And that's what you, if you are biting on this bait and jumping up and down and foaming at the mouth on Facebook, that's what you're doing. You are being played by a media that doesn't know what it's talking about.
Well, you talk about dangerous situations. That is dangerous.
Part of the reason the media doesn't know what it's talking about is because the Trump administration did a terrible job rolling this out. Okay? They throw this stuff out there and they're like, oh, that's the way it's going to be, and then they don't say anything. We talked about the issues with the inauguration last week. And it's like, you guys got to stop and you got to start communicating, okay? You guys need to, first of all, write the executive orders correctly so that we don't have people with green cards wondering if they can come into the United States. Yes, you can. They issued another clarification on it today. If you have a green card, you can come in. We're going to inconvenience at most 90,000 people for 90 days. In exchange for that, we are likely going to stop terrorists from getting into this country. Maybe we don't. Maybe the terrorists weren't thinking of coming in for the next 90 days. At the very least, we've done something about it.
And then put some systems into place and figure out how to deal with this better.
You cannot have open borders and security, folks. You can't have both. Mutually exclusive.
It's impossible.
Either we know who's coming into the country or we don't. And if we don't know who's coming into the country, we get 9/11. Sometimes we know who's in the country and we get 9/11 because our intelligence services don't connect the dots. This is Donald Trump saying there are fake passports out there. They have been used. I want to make sure we know who's coming into this country. Who can we trust? He didn't pull this list out of a hat.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people at state and there's some people at the CIA sitting there going, well, no central government in Libya, no central government in Yemen, no central government in Sudan. We don't know who they are.
But the thing is, I have to ask you, what needs to happen for all of this to be quiet? For all of this, for people to wake up and stop? I mean, what you're telling me, do we need another attack for people to be like, well, now I look stupid?
No, because they'll fall back and they'll trip all over themselves.
It's the same thing like the shooter in Orlando and how they're trying to portray that as this person who was mesmerized with the gay lifestyle and was, you know, shameful having that. No.
I'll tell you right now what's going to happen. The next time there is a Muslim terror attack,
just like every other time, they're going to try to spin it any way possible.
Carried out by one of these wannabe jihadis who got radicalized online or whatever the heck happens. The next time one of these things happens on U.S. soil, the left, the Democrats,
are going to blame the ban.
Are all going to jump up. Yep. They're all going to jump up and down and they're going to say, this is because of the travel ban.
This
is because of Donald Trump's policies.
They're angry.
Nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Nonsense.
Because it is naive to believe that there are not people who have already gotten into this country. And I'm sure some people, yes, are being watched by the FBI. But it is naive to think that we don't have people here in the United States that are either ISIS sympathizers, part of ISIS, that may or may not be planning something. But it's reality. It's the time that that is what it is. It's reality.
This is a...
Everybody wants to live in their bubble, think that the world's great. It's not.
This is a sensible move by President Donald to get a handle on how we are vetting people who may be trying to get into this country with phony passports that appear real because they're made from real blank passports on real equipment. That's what it is. Would I like to have seen it rolled out better? Absolutely. They screwed that up. And they deserve every bit of criticism that they get for all the chaos they caused at the airports this weekend because they didn't manage it properly. Hopefully they learn from that and it doesn't happen again. Would it be nice if it was less than 90 days? Yes. I don't know why you need 90 days. You're the president. This should be a 30-day problem. Okay? In 30 days, I want some of these countries off this list. You figure out how to make that happen. And if you can't do it in 30 days, then you say, all right, we need 2 more weeks. But you don't come out of the gate and say, well, 90 days. That's a little bit too disruptive for our modern world. Okay? Aspects of this could have been handled better, but make no mistake, this was the right thing for this president to do, and this is a sound security policy.
I'm going to the hardware store.
Everything is awesome.
what's hot, our favorite thing from this week. This is actually a story that we covered on the show a couple years ago, and it was about the three 12-year-olds out in Wisconsin. Two of them brought their friend to a park where they attempted to kill her because they felt like they needed to sacrifice her to Slenderman. Slenderman was this online mythical creature. If you remember this story, if you want to know more about it, definitely, definitely check out HBO's documentary on it, Beware of the Slenderman. It was very, very well made, and it just aired last Sunday, but it just got on demand. So check it out. You may remember, if you're a longtime listener, the story that we reported on with that.
Wait, what?
Did you kick yourself off air?
Where did my... Oh, there it is. Okay, I haven't had the microphone do that before.
It doesn't happen often.
Yeah, we don't mention the Slender Man on this program. I don't want him coming for me. does he come for me, or do I have to go looking for him?
No, you're not a kid.
Oh, it's like the Muslim ban. The Slender Man isn't real.
Yes.
It's not real.
That is true.
Friday, February 10th through Thursday, February 23rd. Mark those dates down in your calendar, because that is when you will be able to go see the Academy Award-nominated shorts at a theater near you. The Coolidge Corner Theater will have the live-action animated and documentary shorts. So will the Institute for Contemporary Art down on the waterfront and the Cinema Salem. The Kendall Square Theater will have the live-action and animated shorts, not the documentaries.
ICA is new to the list this year, right?
ICA has actually been doing it for a while.
Oh, yeah?
But we never mention them.
Mm-hmm.
There may be some others around.
It's a great, great venue.
It is a fantastic. It is a fantastic show. Don't be a millennial hipster. You know what you're on demand. Go see it in a theater. Go give a theater some patronage. Maybe not Cinema Salem, because it's in a really, really small theater over there. Like really, really small. But some of these other theaters, like, you can sit in a room with other people and see these movies blown up on a big screen, and it's awesome. Because that's their movies. That's how they were meant to be enjoyed. So you can find more information at shorts.tv/theOscarsShorts. shorts.tv/theOscarsShorts. They have all of the local theaters that are showing this. Dates and showtimes. I expect more are going to be announced. I was looking at the Cinema Salem schedule, and it seemed a little bit reedy compared to where it was last year. Not as many screenings as I would like to see. But hopefully there will be more announced in the coming days. So, go check them out. Be informed when you make your Oscar picks this year.
So we end the show every week. That's the thing that happened. Craziest story. From this week's news, Oklahoma. A Pawhuska substitute teacher has been arrested for exposing her genitals to a junior high school student after she did a cartwheel. Pawhuska police report that 34-year-old Lacey Spoonsler was arrested Tuesday afternoon for indecent exposure.
Why are these people always named Lacey?
The substitute for the junior high school choir class allegedly performed a cartwheel while wearing a skirt and no undergarments. The police also reported that the incident was captured on a student's cell phone. While the incident was recorded, the substitute teacher reportedly told police, quote, she did not remember performing the cartwheel, end quote, and exposing herself. As of Wednesday afternoon, Spoonsler is still in jail. However, the police reported that the substitute teacher informed students she was not wearing underwear prior to the cartwheel and instructed students to destroy the video. Showing a little too much.
Why are they always named Lacey? Did she have any reason for not wearing underwear that day? Maybe she just didn't like it. Florida. Brian D. John Boyd has a strange way of shopping for hair conditioner. The 27-year-old was arrested after store surveillance video caught him squirting white hair conditioner on the backs and buttocks of four female shoppers at a Target. The video also revealed that Boyd snuck up on his victims, he had his sweatpants pulled away from the waist area and was stroking something inside his pants. Boyd now faces four counts of indecent exposure and battery, making 2017 the second year in a row he's been charged for exposing himself.
A lot of exposing.
Congratulations to Mr. Boyd for most innovative use of hair conditioner. by a sex offender so far in 2017. Next week, you're going to want to be sure to watch the Super Bowl this weekend, because next week we're going to be doing our Super Bowl commercial recall. As we do every year, we will be quizzing. I'll be quizzing Lisa and you, the listeners at home, to see what you remember about the commercials. Maybe we'll get a guest in here for this one. Right? We usually get somebody else in here. Let's find somebody. That's your job for this week. Until then.